broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for October 21st in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Eldon Stahl with me, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, jbs.org, thenewamerican.com. The John Birch Society, ladies and gentlemen, I just got to tell you, one of the premier organizations defending the sacred cause of liberty for decades. And, you know, they've been ridiculed and mocked and abused and attacked and maligned, and all of it's been absolutely fake news, bogus. The John Birch Society is full of people, folks, and they're not perfect. But you know what? They have been steady for the sacred cause of liberty longer than anybody else. Really, it's a reality check. In the 60s, they were literally abused because they called out the communist threat. And they mocked them and literally ridiculed them and used the media against them so effectively, it almost was the demise of the JBS. But no, good, faithful people stood tall for the truth. And eventually, the John Birch Society got stable footing even after the attacks and the abuse and has been really carrying the ball through the New American Magazine and carrying the ball through a lot of their press releases and videos and documentaries and et cetera for quite some time. And then getting a website. I mean, they've just done tremendous. And I know a lot of people just don't even understand the JBS because they hear from their parents or they hear, oh, man, this group is just crazy off the rails, right wing. They act like the sky is falling. Lies. Since they warned about a communist threat back in the 60s, communism has marched straight into your government, straight into every aspect of our society. The threat was real then. The threat is real now. It's just gotten worse. Eldon, what do you think of that kind of summary and introduction about the John Birch Society, sir?
Yeah, very. Thank you so much, Sam. That is so nice to cover some of that ground that some people might have heard of, some might have not. There's a nice little video that you can watch on YouTube. We put out kind of a lighthearted one, 9 minutes, called Standing the Test of Time, the John Birch Society Standing the Test of Time. So kind of cover some of these things, the attacks. And imagine the news media attacking one relatively small, at the time, unknown organization that most people never heard of on the level that they have promoted the vaccine today. And imagine that organization withstanding it and surviving it. That's what the John Birch Society has done over the years. And especially in the 60s, it was so heavy. Didn't have internet back then.
Yeah, it was so heavy. The abuse was so holistic. It was just shocking. And it just shows when you're over the target, man, you're catching flack. They got a whole lot more than flack that time, baby. Wow. But you know what? Good, honest, faithful.
Yeah.
God-fearing Americans really stood in the gap for the JBS.
One of our bookstores down in Tennessee, I believe it was firebombed. There was a brick that went through the window, almost hit one of the secretaries in the office over in Belmont, Massachusetts at the time in the 60s. So people were pretty stirred up to think that the John Birch Society was this terrible organization. And it was the media. The media, you know, Time Magazine, New York Times, all these different outlets, really just smearing and maligning a wonderful organization.
Ladies and gentlemen, what really happened, just so you know, is they peddled fake news and lied about the JBS. That's really what happened, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you put in Standing the Test of Time on Google, you will not get the JBS video because they don't want you to get it. That's why. And as
you
know,
Google
has just become propaganda.
Yeah.
So here's what you type in. Are you ready? JBS space, Standing the Test of Time. Then you'll go straight to the JBS.org website where you need to be in the first place, and you'll get the video. Anyway, great, great, great video. Help you understand the real reality check, the history. And the government, literally, in bed with the media, peddled fake news about the JBS. They've been doing it for nigh on to six decades now. Ladies and gentlemen, that is something to behold. When they're mocking us for fake news, the JBS has turned out to be right on virtually everything. Eldon?
Yeah, they just the other day, the Daily Beast, which shouldn't be a surprise, they did a hit piece on the John Birch Society trying to accuse us of, encouraging people to block entrance to public schools. Now, we're not exactly for public schools, but we're not going to encourage people to do anything like that. That was their tactic. They thought, well, okay, let's try to smear the John Birch Society again.
Here's what the details on the JBS page says about the video. It says this: many times commonly known facts turn out to be wrong. In this video, we challenge incorrect, in other words, some commonly held beliefs about the John Birch Society. Take the next step and get involved with the John Birch Society. Anyway, very, very educational, folks. Anyway, I'm not even a member of the JBS. Did you know that? And it's not that I'm against it. It's that I'm not a member of anything. But I highly endorse the JBS. You say, Sam, if you've endorsed it, why aren't you a member? Because then people just attack me and say that I have an agenda or a bias. I don't have an agenda. I just know they do great work, and I'm going to back the work. Why am I not going to join? Because then you can't say that I'm just shilling for the group that I'm a member of. I'm not shilling for anybody. I'm just telling you where the truth can be found. I'm telling you about the JBS video so that you can understand standing the test of time and how critical that really is. Anyway, enough on that, but I wanted to give the JBS some really highlighted focus. They will have a booth, by the way, tomorrow, which is Friday and Saturday at the WeCanAct.net conference. Eldon Stahl will be there, along with other local JBS folks, running the booth, providing incredible facts-based education and information. A lot of the educational material that you guys will be promoting is done by our good buddy Alex, right?
Yeah, we'll have quite a few of the videos. Of course, the overview of America, but also those magazines that Alex Newman, a lot of the articles he wrote for that on education. So that's going to be really, really good to have. People can come and get those.
And when you meet people like Eldon Stahl and meet people like Alex Newman, you understand the JBS is not a frothing at the mouth organization that your media has lied to you and let you believe. In the past, when we bring up the abuses of the media, people would say, yeah, but they're credible and you're not. Well, now that's changed. People know we're credible and they're not, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I got an interesting headline for you, Eldon. Speaking of the vaccines, the mandates, the force agenda that we completely stand against, headline says this: iOS 15.1. So that's the operating system, the latest version that's going to be on your iPhone, right? iOS 15.1 will support, quote, verifiable COVID vaccine cards in Apple Wallet.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, so you got verifiable COVID vaccination cards now that'll be in your wallet. So you just basically show your phone and, hey, I'm appropriately vaxxed, and here's the proof. Here's the problem. When they back into that, it will become your, quote, national ID card to provide proof on all kinds of things. Are you vaccinated?
Yep.
What's this status or that status in your life? And it's going to expand like you would not believe. And big tech leading the charge, Eldon.
Yeah, this is a real problem. Part of the problem is we have people that are pretty ignorant of history and have gone through the government schools and they have not been taught some basic things of history. One of them is that a hallmark of any totalitarian state is some sort of internal passport. so that you can move around and just do basic things that you would normally take for granted in America, like going down to get groceries or filling up the gas tank or, you know, doing banking, anything like that. So when you have a situation like that, it gives the government a great amount of control, and that's just something that you need to resist tooth and nail. Don't let them go for that, because your liberties are on the chopping block when that happens. So
there
get
you
your
have
kid
it.
Out of the public schools once again.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're back to that. Why are we back to it? Because it is one of the the decisions that you're going to really eventually flat out need to make, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. Very, very scary indeed. Next headline, Donald Trump announces new social media platform. It's going to be called Truth Social, and he launched it, they say, after being banned by major apps. Twitter says he can never come back. Facebook says he can come back in 2023. But former President Donald Trump announced that he is launching the new social media platform. I'll tell you about the details in seconds. We'll get Eldon's response. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So Donald Trump announces new social media platform called Truth Social, designed to compete with big tech. They say the full version is expected to be out in the first quarter of 2022. Do you want to respond to this, Eldon?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I initially, when Facebook was the only kid on the block, I thought, well, that'd be a good thing. But lately, they've just shown their teeth and said, well, we're just going to try to censor this and that, and you can't. It was supposed to be this free speech type of thing, be able to share ideas freely, but nope, they just want to push their agenda. So. I'm tired of that.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. I find that interesting. I hope Donald's platform is really a free speech platform. But I know Donald can be pushed around fairly easily by, quote, the court of public opinion, etc. And I wonder if the John Birch Society would be allowed to be on there. I wonder if Liberty Roundtable Live would be allowed to be on there. I kind of really wonder how free it will really be. Or will it be, we're going to give freedom to the Donald and other people? Well, maybe not so much. Now, President Trump says,
we'll find out,
that it's for everybody. And I pray that's really true. But I look at it and I kind of think, you know, it's great for him to start his own media company. But I really wish Donald Trump would put a little bit of money into a bunch of us that are already doing a good job of the media, already being fair to President Trump. Even though I haven't endorsed him and even though I wouldn't vote for him, I have been very fair in promoting when he does right things. The more he does right, the better. Launching this media company is one of the right things to do, and I commend him for it. But I also wish he would help fund folks like us, and not just me, Brighty on TV, many others, of people that are really already doing a good job. We could really use the support to compete with the mainstream press. And if Donald had a two-pronged approach, one of them was to build his own company and then give us a platform on it. And then secondly, he was willing to help fund a few of us to keep us alive. It's been very difficult with the abuses that we all take. Anyway, I think that would go a long way to take on the mainstream press, more than even President Trump himself and his own channel can do. Because there's a lot of people doing a lot of good work already that need to be, what do you want to call it, strengthened? Anyway, that's my take, Eldon.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we have an emerging, certainly, alternative news media that's been out there. But, boy, trying to keep things afloat is not easy in the media world. You've got to really get advertisers and get people to support you and all that, and that's not an easy thing. So without them, I think Trump would have a difficult time getting elected in 2016.
All right, I find this headline very, very strange. Here it is. Radio host Dennis Prager, quote, "I deliberately caught COVID." Dennis Prager says that he literally hugged thousands in a quest to catch the disease and get natural immunity. He thinks it's like the chicken pox or something. Radio host, quote, "I deliberately got COVID," he said on Monday's Prager radio show. Do you want to respond to purposely trying to get the virus? He said, "I've been working at this since the pandemic started, and finally I achieved my goal. I'm sick with the COVID. I had to be down for a few days and couldn't do my show live." What do you think of this, Eldon?
I'm not sure that I would deliberately seek that out, but, you know, the thing with COVID is it can be quite severe for some people. A person I know, he just died yesterday with it, and he had some complications, of course, kind of a more elderly person, but still, it is a sad thing. I don't know. I don't know how strong his immune system is as a Prager fellow, but I don't know. It's kind of a gamble.
Now, I'll tell you, I would never intentionally try to do that. I don't think it's like chicken pox at all. What I find fascinating, though, is he says his wife's sick, he's sick, etc. I don't agree with intentionally trying to get it or pass it around. I think it really creates, in my opinion, credibility crisis for our side. He says he wants to get natural immunity so he doesn't have to get the vaccine, which he will never do. But see, when you act that irresponsible, it makes all of us people who don't want the vaccine to look irresponsible. So I wonder if this is kind of a gimmick coming out of the public and doing this. I don't know why he would do it. I'm just telling you, it's very, very strange. But he gives us kind of a credibility crisis, because now it's like, yeah, those whacked out vaxxers are, you know, they're trying to, or the unvaxxer people, they're trying to, you know, get COVID on purpose. They think they're having COVID parties. They think this is a big old joke. And well, anyway, here's what He tells the Daily Beast that his treatment has consisted of such therapeutics as the Regeneral Mono Anaclonal Body Antibody Cocktail, which most of us can't afford to get, by the way. They say which currently has emergency use authorization for COVID from the FDA. Now, he's also using ivermectin. They say a drug not approved for COVID, mainly used for horse dewormers. An animal dewormer, which I disagree with completely. He says the fact that I'm on my way to natural immunity is a high for me, Prager said on Monday. Now, I agree with that point, that we want natural immunity if we need it and everything, but I would never intentionally try to do this. He occasionally muted his mic to cough, they say. He said, I'm thrilled about it. They lost their taste, sense of taste and smell. What we don't want people to do is create COVID parties and intentionally infect themselves. Anyway, it goes on, but I look at this and I think, you know what, Dennis, I appreciate this will get you a lot of coverage as a shock jock. I appreciate that you want natural immunity, because I would agree with that. But intentionally infecting yourself and then going on the air and publicizing that fact is, in my opinion, irresponsible and puts our side of the discussion really, in my opinion, in a very compromised position. Just let me be clear. I never tried to get COVID. I tried to not get COVID. I took the protocols that I thought were warranted and made sense. I was careful. I had COVID twice, once for sure. I believe twice. The first time I got COVID, then it turned into Bell's palsy. The second time I got COVID, I almost died. And I do believe ivermectin and prayers to God Almighty and blessings from people in the religious realm saved my life. But I would never try to get the disease. I don't believe in the vaccine, and I support herd. I support natural herd immunity. I believe getting the virus is one of the best ways to become immune to it. I agree. But I don't think we would ever try to speed it up or intentionally get it. It can make people very, very sick indeed. But I really think this creates a credibility crisis for Dennis Prager and for all of us, really, because it makes us just look radical and irresponsible. What do you say, Eldon?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I would not seek it out. We really don't know for sure until we get sick how strong our immune system is. And, of course, that's not a good time to figure that out, because with something like COVID, it could be pretty bad. But yeah, I had COVID, had it for about 3 days, family had it, went around, but I didn't seek it out, of course, but I just happened to be, like many people, just going about my daily life. And but yeah, I'm not planning on getting any of these shots that they're pushing, which who knows what's in them. And we've had all kinds of stories of people having adverse effects from them, more than probably any other thing that's labeled a vaccine.
The reason I bring this all up, ladies and gentlemen, is there's a new study out about tuberculosis. Study finds tuberculosis is passed on by breathing. We'll talk about that coming up in seconds. Mm-hmm. Because of these aerosols, they say. There's a new study out of Africa that talks about this. Anyway, we'll talk about it more in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An organized group of parents in Michigan and Virginia accused Attorney General Merrick Garland in a federal lawsuit Tuesday of trying to criminalize free speech. The lawsuit is seeking an injunction saying it's causing irreparable harm to the parents of Loudoun County Public Schools in Virginia and Saline Schools of Michigan. It should be noted that Garland is the only defendant listed in the complaint. New York City firefighters are taking a stand against Democrat Mayor Bill de Blasio. The Uniform Firefighters Association revealed it would not be enforcing vaccine mandates on any of its members. UFA President Andrew Ansbrough said they would not be cutting staff, stating it would put their community at risk. Former President Trump announced Wednesday that he is launching a new media company that will begin the beta phase in November. In a statement, they desire to create a rival to the liberal media consortium and fight back against the big tech companies of Silicon Valley. USA Radio News.
Hear that? That's the sound of a man guarding his home around the clock. Because he has 24/7 professional monitoring from Simply Safe Home Security. With 24/7 professional monitoring, Simply Safe keeps watch night and day. If there's trouble, Simply Safe alerts him and will dispatch emergency help when needed. Protect your home and your sleep. Take 30% off a new system at simplysafe.com today.
There's a lot of confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, with guidelines and regulations changing by the week. One thing is certain. You need an accurate thermometer for your family to check for fever, the leading sign of flu and COVID. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have no scientific studies behind them and can miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way temperature.
President Biden selling his massive social spending bill, Tim Berg explains.
President Biden spending part of his Wednesday in Scranton, Pennsylvania, pushing his Build Back Better agenda.
In the Build Back Better plan, I got more money for passenger rail than the entire Amtrak system cost to begin with. We're going to change the nation in a big way.
Amtrak did receive $1 billion in COVID relief money in early 2020, although it still did not turn a profit in fiscal 2020, losing $801 million. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
President Trump is launching a new network. Chris Barnes reports.
Former President Trump is getting ready to start posting on the World Wide Web again. Trump announced he is launching his own social media network called Truth Social. Says it's to, quote, stand up to the tyranny of big tech.
Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, Eldon Stahl with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this interesting headline. They've been doing new studies. And the new studies say that tuberculosis is spreading. They say 5 million people got it last year, and that's just the number that they can document. They say it's more like probably 10 million people. Study finds tuberculosis is passed on by breathing. I find that very, very interesting indeed. The next question becomes, will the next versions of the coronavirus have some tuberculosis element added to it? What are the futures of these, quote, in my opinion, bioweapons released and the bioweapon vaccines, the antidote bioweapon? What's the future of those things? And now we see that tuberculosis is passed on by breathing. Same with the COVID. You breathe out these little droplets and whatever, missed it, and everybody gets sick. I see a future tie somewhere, somehow. Past, present, and future tie. Eldon?
Well, yeah, anything's possible. The tuberculosis, as we know, has been around for a long time, and it's been, you know, relatively rare recently in the United States, but it seems to be on the rise. Some people attribute that to, you know, people that come into the United States usually illegally, and they have not been properly screened for tuberculosis. And so it's, you know, just a little aside, I was studying for a time to looking at being a court interpreter. And they said, well, okay, there might be some situations you go down to the jail and you're with this inmate and they want to be up very up close and personal with you. And it's a possibility that you can contract tuberculosis as they speak to you into your face. That's not something I really, you know, it seems like an unsafe work environment there. Not that it, you know, I mean, these people do need interpreters, but boy, something to consider. But yeah, when you talk about the droplets that people are so concerned about with COVID, with the virus, tuberculosis is really in those, and very, you might say, communicable. Tuberculosis is so. That's something to be certainly concerned about. We don't want to have that on the rise again in the United States.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All I'm telling you is I don't know the tide of this yet. I'm just telling you, when they release studies about TB and it comes through breathing, you've had studies about the coronavirus that led to gain-of-function research, and you kind of go, they're studying all this stuff. Will there be a tie? Will there be a link? Will there be a relationship? Well, all this has to do with your ability to breathe, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that very scary in your mind and interesting as well? All right, here's the next headline for you. Government website features much maligned ivermectin as COVID treatment. Did you see this? You probably didn't, did you? WorldNet Daily, Art Moore with the article. Let me say it again. Government website features much maligned ivermectin as COVID treatment. Where you say? The NIH, National Institutes of Health, website features much maligned ivermectin as COVID treatment. Drug listed second only to expensive government favorite remdesivir, which I would not take. Anyway, very fascinating. Eldon, what do you say to that?
So on one day, this is the thing that we can't take, and on the next day, it's recommended. That's basically how, you know, when you turn your medical and healthcare decisions over to the government, then you have all this, you might say, arbitrary stuff that doesn't make sense, rather than just having a doctor being able to examine things and say, oh yeah, this looks like the best route to go.
Well, and according to Dr. Pierre Corey, who's talked about ivermectin as one of the great solutions if we let people take it early and everything else, he testified before Congress and many committees about this. His whole team has been really doing with the frontline doctors some tremendous work regarding ivermectin. What's fascinating to me is that Congress, between 100 and 200 members of Congress, their families and their staffs have been taking ivermectin this whole time. Eldon, did you know that?
No, I didn't. But yeah,
now they got caught.
Surprised me, boy. Yeah. Well, you know, have to tell them that they shouldn't take this horse dewormer stuff. It's that's dangerous.
You're gonna love this next headline. This same group, the National Institutes of Health, got a huge $4 million grant. The NIH gave the Johns Hopkins Health Institution $4 million in grant money to study magic mushrooms. Yeah, they want to know about how psilocybin can help you with your... Let me see this. With your tobacco addiction. Yes, sir. The study will be led by Johns Hopkins Medicine in collaboration with New York University, ladies and gentlemen, as the university at Birmingham there, down there in Alabama. And they said, we knew that it wouldn't be long till they'd fund this work because the data is so compelling and because this work is safe. psilocybin, that's the agent in mushrooms that makes you high or euphoric or whatever, does have very real risks, but don't worry. These risks are mitigated through controlled settings, through screening, preparation, monitoring, and great care. Yeah?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
So if you want to fight your tobacco addiction, get on some shrooms, man.
Yeah, well, I no longer have a desire to have smoke. I see all these things all over that I didn't see before, but that's okay.
Now check this out. They say you're going to have, if you're part of this study, you're going to have 6 to 7 hours where you go ahead and take mushrooms, you'd kick back and listen to music. They say this is the first time in over 50 years the government's been involved in psychedelic research. The historical relevance of this grant is monumental, they say. We want to break addictive thought and behavior patterns. Yeah, it also fights depression, just so you know.
Well, yeah, I imagine that would have some effect on depression, too. I'm not sure. Do we really want to go down that route of saying, well, let's replace one addictive thing with psychedelics? I don't know. Seems I don't know. But you know, it's the same government that we're studying the mating habits of frogs or whatever. So is this really something that should be spending money on? But when you're spending other people's money, it's easy to do.
Yeah. You can get on mushrooms, man. Compliments of your government. If you guys want to sign up for this study, you can hang out 6-7 hours per session, get high on magic mushrooms, man, and just listen to tunes. Don't worry, it'll fight depression, it'll fight your tobacco use, and best of all, they say, after the study, people remain more abstinent. So if you want to quit, you know, making babies, then just get everybody on the mushrooms, man. Look, you won't have any babies. You won't be addicted to tobacco, which is really harmful. And you won't be depressed.
So there's
you just get on the magic.
Population control element in this?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
This is weird as all get out, man, I'm telling you. And this is the people that finally put on their website, hey, you can have ivermectin as treatment a year and a half later. I wonder if mushrooms gets rid of COVID. What do you think? Did you just eat some mushrooms and pretty soon no more cocoa?
I don't know.
That's not in the study, by the way, folks. I'm just kind of saying, hey, it's almost a miracle drug. These magic mushrooms, buddy. And you're just having a fantastic time. Anyway, there you
have
it.
Well, it's always in the interest of the despotic ruler to have the populace more and more wrapped up in vices. So this might be one of them.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, it's called the Death of Cash update I want to talk about. Then we'll get into a little bit more of the COVID reality checks and the battle in the government schools over, well, what's happening to your kids? Can you protest or not? Or are you just a terrorist or what? Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Live and on your radio, Eldon Stahl with me, ladies and gentlemen, John Birch Society. The John Birch Society doing a phenomenal job. JBS.org and thenewamerican.com. So, I guess it's called the Death of Cash Update.
You weren't taking any of those mushrooms, question. Were you?
I was trying to stay away from the mushrooms. But I know it'll just help me in so many ways. You know? I wonder if it'll help me not be so hooked on Liberty. Maybe I can get rid of my Liberty addiction and just not care anymore if I'm
on
the magic.
Yes.
Death of Cash Update, ladies and gentlemen. Is the purge coming is the question, Eldon.
Yeah, we
you think the purge of cash is coming?
Well, people are pushing for it, I know. That's going to be a really bad thing if we would just totally get rid of cash, even though, yes, we have fiat currency and all that, but it's something that you can hold in your hand, something that you can, you don't need some sort of electronic device to use. So there is at least some ability to control that. That's beyond the reach of the people that want to rule over us. But
and that is the point, ladies and gentlemen. You have independence in transactions, and you have privacy in your transactions if you have some degree of cash. But if they take that away, you won't have any of that. They'll be able to trace every single thing you do from a financial point of view. Time will tell if they're going to do that. Some are saying it's already here. I'm saying, is it coming? Because I don't think it's here yet, folks, but they're certainly working on it. All right. Nearly 1,900 Washington State employees quit and or were fired over the COVID-19 vaccine mandate, writes the Epoch Times. Eldon.
Well, that's quite a lot of people. You wonder, what are they going to do with all their time? Maybe they'll take some time to lobby against these mandates. People that, you know, a lot of these people are folks that had never thought of themselves as activists before. And now, you know, their habit of minding their own business has caught up with them. And now they, you know, it's either fight or flight. So some of them may. I hope they do, because these things don't get better until people get involved and push back and say no more of that.
I'm a little bit happy that these people are all government workers, though. We need less government workers anyway.
Well, yeah. I don't know that it'll necessarily make for less government. They'll, I'm sure, try to fill those positions in Washington state government. But still, you know, if you have that level of people just saying, hey, I'm done with this, maybe that's a sign that you ought to reconsider your policy. It's not, you know, I mean, even with government jobs, of course, you can't just snap your fingers and say, okay, we're going to replace so-and-so. People make things happen. It doesn't matter what organization you have.
Anyway, you're going to see huge swaths of this happening. You're seeing it with the airlines. You're seeing it with police officers. You're seeing it with nurses and frontline healthcare workers. Now you're seeing it with government state workers. This is going to continue big time, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a teacher shortage, and I got the solution. You ready for it? If all these terrorist parents would just pull their kids out and show the ultimate terrorism by not putting their kids in the government school, then you won't need as many teachers. It'll just solve the teacher problem. What do you say to that, Eldon?
Yeah, I think there's quite a bit of opportunity for that. And a lot of people say, well, I can't do homeschooling and all this. You know, you might have a special situation, but think about Ben Carson's mother. She could not even read. She was very poor, and she brought up her two sons in the classical education, homeschooled them basically, and one of them, as we know, became a brain surgeon. Really, if there's a will, there's a way. But you have to come to a point where you're willing to make that sacrifice and figure out some way to make it work. I'm not saying that things are not tough. There's plenty of people who have difficult situations, but really, you have to get to that point. Maybe it's reading The Harsh Truth About Public Schools book, or maybe it's being accused of being a terrorist. I don't know. Something's gotta get you to that point where it's kind of like the Dave Ramsey thing. It's gotta hurt enough to make a change.
Well, and in my opinion, people need to realize that they can do hard things. You know, back in the day, a lot of parents taught their children, plus worked on the farm, plus we've got so much more time in our society due to, you know, washing machines for your clothes and dryers and dishwashers. And, you know, we've got an easy life. We've got plenty of time on our hands, comparatively speaking, from the necessities of life battle our forebears dealt with. But we need to really realize we can do hard things. This is doable. Eldon?
Yeah, it is very doable, especially nowadays. There's so many options for homeschooling, and there's more private schools too. So you can do it on a shoestring budget. You can, if you want to spend more money, you can find options like Freedom Project Academy, which you know, you have, I guess, more time on your hands. It costs a little bit more money, but it's quite affordable. So there's all different kind of hybrids and all different approaches. You need to kind of study it out, talk with somebody else that's doing homeschooling, find out what they do, and come up with a plan for your own family. But many people have walked this road, and many, many, many more are doing so now. We've probably had homeschooling triple in the last couple of years in the United States. It's phenomenal.
And ladies and gentlemen, not only can we do hard things, but I think it's really important to understand a lot of parents who are spending so much time on, you know, TV or other things that, you know, aren't really very fulfilling. Too much time scrolling on social media. Parents are involved in that too. If you back away from a lot of those things and spend time with your children, teaching them to read, write, do arithmetic, a little bit about history, teach them to be loving liberty children. There's stories that can help with that. And you give them that love of learning and that love of liberty. Believe it or not, children take off. Their wings unfold and they just fly. And they do because they find out what their interests are. They find out what motivates them. And then before you know it, they know more about it than you do. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my sons is a real exercise freak in a good way. Don't get me wrong. He's a basketball player and he exercises just a ton. He wants to walk onto a college team. But he built himself a salmon ladder. And I'm like, what the heck is a salmon ladder, son? And he goes, well, it's this thing that you climb up with and it really strengthens your core, your stomach muscles and the core of your body. And so he literally went out, went to the store, bought wood, got the tools, came back and built this salmon ladder. And I didn't even know what a salmon ladder was or how to use it, but he built one and he's exercising on the thing. And then I ask him and learn about it more. And it turns out that he wants to go into construction for a living. He wants to be a manager in construction, maybe a general contractor. But anyway, I bring this up because, I mean, I never known him to build anything in his life like that. But he was so interested in it because of his exercise desires and his personal interests and his love of construction and building things, to where he just went out and did this, and he built this device himself before I even knew what the thing was. This is the point about learning and love, or developing the love of learning, I should say, and developing the love of liberty. When that happens, people just take off, Eldon. That's what real schooling is all about.
Yeah, it's very liberating, really. And there's so many little tiny things that you don't realize when you start homeschooling that you figure out, oh, well, now we can do that. And it strengthens your family quite a bit. You really get to have a stronger relationship between parents and children. Because you're teaching them, you're interacting with them, and your children are looking to you as somebody that is, you know, knowledgeable, rather than at the public schools. They say, well, you know, really you need to look to the school for guidance rather than your parents.
Well, and what you need to remember, too, is when you teach people the love of learning and you teach people the love of liberty, it becomes lifelong pursuits. Self-motivated. And that's really, in my opinion, the key. None of us should ever quit learning. We all agree with that. But when you teach children to love to learn, then before you know it, you really teach them, you give them everything. Because if they know how to read and they know how to do math and they know the basics, the rest takes care of itself. Because they're on a lifelong quest. Not just, I want to get this done because I have to, because dad or mom say so. Not because of any reason, but you develop this love of learning that's really infectious. And that's what Ben Carson, as you highlighted this, that's what his mom literally started him on the road of. And it ended up in a, well, he got out of the hood and he became one of the greatest physicians ever known, right? I should say surgeons,
right.
But physicians, right?
You teach people that they can teach themselves and learn things, and that is so empowering. That's more empowering, of course, than any government program that targets kids that are in the gangs or whatever. If you can teach them that, that's wonderful.
Amen to that. We're flat out of time, Eldon Stahl. Thank you so much for being with us, sir.
Oh, thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to promote the We Can Act conference. It starts tomorrow. Eldon Stahl will be there with the John Birch Society booth, jbs.org to learn more, thenewamerican.com for their incredible magazine. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll be there as well with the lovingliberty.net booth, lovingliberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network, and we'll be promoting this conference like nobody's business. It is the way to get involved. And, you know, a lot of people think it's about learning. It is. But it's called We Can Act for a reason. Because I don't want you to just sit there in a chair and learn. I don't want to just meet, greet, and retreat. I want to think we can act. We can act in our best interest as Americans. We can act in our best interest to promote free enterprise, to promote the proper role of limited government, to protect ourselves from abusive government. We Can Act, ladies and gentlemen, is the conference. Tickets are available now. Put in the keyword Liberty and get your ticket now. Go in person if you can. Really pull out the stops and go in person. But if you can't, there are streaming options. WeCanAct.net, keywords Liberty. Put it in and get an incredible discount for you and your loved ones. We'll see you there. For Sam Bushman and Eldon Stahl, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.